Deck the halls with Alex's Hasselblad. La 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 la.
Hey guys, this is it. End of season one. This is December 2015. We hope everyone had a wonderful holiday season, however you celebrate. And so, appropriately, our topic today will be cameras we have received as gifts. So, oftentimes, especially in the film photography world, we get all these great cameras just handed to us. Some of them just randomly, others have great sentimental value to them, and we have a great selection of a little of both. Let's get rolling.
Jingly bells, jingly bells, jingly bells, jingly bells. Is there more words?
Coming to you from Toronto, Canada, this is Classic Camera Revival. If you don't have gear acquisition syndrome now, you certainly will after listening to this show.
Okay, guys, welcome back. So we are, again, talking about cameras that we received as gifts. So I'm going to start it off, and I'm going to be talking about a camera that's fairly common, the Pentax K1000, an absolutely beautiful, beautiful camera, and one that you'd find in most high school dark rooms, and almost every photographer I know has had and used it at least once. And I've had a couple K1000s come through my collection, but they've always been passed along to other people who've gone, oh, I'm really interested in film photography. I really want to get it going. And it's like, here, have a K1000, right? They're a dime a dozen.
I did the exact same thing. My mom's coworker, her daughter was getting into a photography class, and she was asking about cameras. And I said, you know what? I've got the perfect camera.
There we go.
And sure enough, K1000.
Yep, absolutely. Now, the K1000 I have, and this one won't be leaving my collection because this was a camera given to me by my grandfather about a year and a half ago, shortly after my niece's baptism. He passed it along to me. I had made a joke saying, hey, Opa, when you kick it, I want your Pentax. he had a good sense of humor and had a good chuckle about that. But as he said, I really don't use it anymore. Here you go. So this was his camera. This is the only camera he's really only ever used. So, and the best part is that I have some of the slides that he shot as well with it. And I'll make sure the picture gets up on the show notes, but there's a great family snapshot, again, on 35 millimeter film, and then printed and put in an album by the 4x6 of me sucking my two fingers, sitting on his lap while he shows me how to use this camera. Now, the one interesting thing, and my grandfather is an interesting man for this, is that he didn't have a 50mm lens with it.
What?
Yeah. It came with a Vivitar 24mm and a 200mm telephoto Pentax lens. Wow. So I was able to go to Burlington Camera, and Joan had a 55mm f2 lens for like $35.
Oh, very nice.
But no, the K1000 is just an absolutely fantastic camera. It's great to learn on, because it's all manual, but it does have a meter in it. Mm-hmm. So even if you don't have a battery, it still will work. It'll work in cold weather. It'll work in hot weather. You name it, it does it. The lenses are cheap. And the best part is that if you have a Pentax digital SLR, you can still use these lenses onto it. Or in my case, get an adapter for your micro camera. And the glass is just absolutely fantastic.
And you can also get adapters to allow the use of screw mount lenses.
Yep.
Because quite often Pentax realized that they wanted to upsell their existing Pentax Spotmatic customers, and you don't want to tick them off by saying, guess what, that, you know, all your nice kit of dozen lenses,
the super tax,
you can't use it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they made sure that there is an adapter, there are adapters available. One thing I found, the adapters, it is very easy for them to get stuck.
Yes.
So
yes.
Be careful.
Yes. Especially if you lose that wonderful release key. Now, I've always liked the K1000.
Mm-hmm.
Always have said great reviews on it. And one thing that I'll definitely say is amazing about it is the fact that, well, it's so cheap.
Yes.
I mean, It is one of those cameras where if you're just looking for something to kick around,
basic,
shoot,
no nonsense.
And yeah, exactly. No, yep. Grab yourself a K1000. Absolutely. The mm-hmm. lenses are a dime a dozen. I mean, other than the fact that the K-mount lenses do work on their digital line, it does kind of put their price up a little,
not
a
by
tiny
much,
bit, but I mean, if you look at the Raikkonen K-mount lenses, mm-hmm. which are phenomenal lenses, yeah. Vivitar has a whole lineup of K-mount.
So did Zenit.
Zenit, yes, they do. The Helios lines, those are something
else. I'm even talking like a genuine bayonet mount, Zenitar K2. Yep.
Now, one thing I would say about the K1000 is if you're not careful, you can go through batteries.
Yes.
Because it does not have a meter on-off
switch.
Yeah. The on-off switch is taking off the lens cap.
Yep.
So whatever you do, don't lose your lens cap.
Or keep it in the dark.
Yeah.
Yeah, because as you know, the lens you can burn through batteries very quickly.
Yeah. And to complete the collection, I even recently, like last month, got my grandfather's first wife's camera.
Oh, very nice.
So I have the two of them happily sitting on a shelf.
Cute.
And one of my projects for 2016, which we'll get to at the end of the show on that.
Speaking, this is one thing that I've noticed is, I know there are some exceptions to this, but as you were mentioning is how the K1000 was your grandfather's only camera.
Yep.
I mean, if you look at today, a lot of us film shooters, we have a ton of
yes.
cameras. Which is fantastic, which of the just the way things worked with digital photography and all these prices coming down on,
mm-hmm.
on film cameras. We get to try all these amazing cameras
yeah.
that, honestly, people only owned one camera. That
yeah.
was it.
Yeah.
They may have had one camera, maybe a couple of lenses, unless they were a real pro shooter. And I think it's absolutely amazing when you hear stories such as yourself when it says, oh yeah, this is his only camera. My dad
because
was
they were expensive back then.
My dad yeah. was the same thing. He had one camera. He had his Canon AE-1, which I inherited, but we'll discuss that another time. But
yeah.
no, I think it's fantastic that
yeah.
we get to try all these amazing cameras.
Absolutely. Yeah, no. Yeah, when I got my F80, the one camera about 6 years ago, the one camera I always wanted was an Icon F5, and now I have one, so
nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that. So let's move on. Donna has a rather beast of a camera for her small size.
I have the Bronica EC. Yes, it is a beast of a camera. She's really heavy. I would not recommend it for a very long photo shoot. It does get really heavy around the neck, but it is a beautiful camera, and the pictures that it takes, I'll post some up on the site, but it's phenomenal. It's beautiful. The way it's designed, it's gorgeous. It really is. I originally wanted a Hasselblad, and the Hasselblad was out of my price range. I had I had Alex's to shoot with. He lent it to me to shoot for a day, and I fell in love with it. And my husband said, well, why not try the Bronica? Because the Bronica is similar. And
it's also my style camera.
And he said, it's also a lot cheaper, so try it first. And, you know, eventually get a Hasselblad down the road. And so he yeah. bought me a Bronica. And I absolutely love it. I really would recommend it.
The one thing that really stands out for me for this camera is how far into the camera body the lens recesses.
Yes.
Right. A lot of times I compared it to the 50 millimeter Distagon and the 50 millimeter for the Bronica, the Distagon's a bit taller, but there's a lot more of the lens outside of the camera as opposed to inside the camera,
mm-hmm.
like the Bronica. So it really does give it a much smaller form factor overall, especially with stuff.
Now without the lenses though, it is lighter. The
yeah.
lenses are
the lenses do
yeah,
add.
They weigh quite a bit.
Yeah.
Now the one thing that I will mention about this is, speaking of odd designs, is it actually has a split mirror. Part of the mirror folds down into the bottom of the camera. The other part of the mirror folds up.
Yeah. Interesting.
Now, the difference is with the EC versus the S lineup. The S lineup actually had, they're both focal plane shutters. The EC TL2 was the last of the focal plane shutter Bronicas. Okay. But the EC was the first one that used the split mirror, where the S and the S2, instead of the mirror actually folding upwards, as you would expect on most SLRs, it actually flipped down into the bottom of the camera.
Oh, wow.
And there was a secondary blind that would actually come out and cover the viewfinder, which was pretty impressive considering. It is
nice.
They're fantastic cameras.
Very easy to focus too. I like that.
Yeah, nice. When I look through it, it's a very bright viewfinder.
Yeah.
The other thing is about the Bronica, the EC lineup, it is not mechanical. EC stands for electronically controlled. So if you don't have a battery, the camera will not work.
Because from the outside, it looks like a mechanical camera with the chrome and the black leather at it. It screams mechanical.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting
to
know that it takes battery.
It's just wild. But
what sort of battery?
544. It takes the same battery that you would put into a Bronica ETRS, which was...
Okay, so it's alkaline.
It's also the same battery that you would use in your Canon A series camera, such as the AE1, AE1 program, AV1.
Readily available.
Very, very readily available. I mean, you can get them at drugstores, online, Walmart, Radio Shack, The Source, whatever place around that sells batteries. Chances are they'll have the LR4, the 544 battery.
Nice. Now, this is when Bronica was still using Nikon to make the glass, right?
Yes. Now, there's one neat little thing about the lenses that not a lot of people realize is towards the end of the line of the Bronica focal plane shutter cameras, which like the EC-TL2, Nikon started to run into a little bit of difficulty with their glass manufacturing.
Okay.
And Zenza and Nikon, they kind of were starting to split ways. So, believe it or not, the wonderful producers of Carl Zeiss lenses actually stepped up.
Okay.
And they started to make the first Zenzanon lenses. They were branded Zenzanon for the Bronica. And they're much sought after because, let's face it, they're Carl Zeiss on a Bronica camera.
Yeah.
And that's actually what led to Bronica's newer Zenzanon lenses afterwards when they completely went to leaf mount. Or leaf shutter.
Okay.
And not a lot of people realize that Carl Zeiss actually was making the lenses for the Bronica system. And to be honest with you, for the longest time, neither did I until one day I just happened to come across one. I didn't get a chance to buy it because it was kind of a little bit outside my price range. But I thought, Carl Zeiss on a Bronica? No way. Looked it up. Absolutely. When Nikon and Bronica started to go their separate ways, Carl Zeiss stepped up, and sure enough, the 80 mil, it's
there we go.
Apparently amazing optics.
So, final say, Donna?
I would totally recommend this camera.
Yeah, for someone who's hankering for a Hasselblad.
Especially if you're looking for a Hassi and you don't have that amount of money, which, you know, $1,000 odd, $2,000 for a Hasselblad. I mean, it is a Hasselblad. You can't compare it with a Bronica, but it works just as well.
Exactly.
Well, the guy that made Bronica, you can get a lot of the information from Wikipedia on this, but he did not like any of the cameras at the time, and he designed the Bronica D specifically for how he would like a camera.
Okay.
And he wasn't even a photographer. This is the part that kills me. He spent 100,000 yen to develop the Bronica, and ever since then, it just took off.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, it also does come all in black without the chrome finishing around it as well.
I believe that's the ECTL that comes all black.
But it is more pricier because you're paying for it to be all black with no chrome. But
very cool.
And, of course, TL has the through-the-lens meter built into the camera as opposed to having to get a separate viewfinder for it.
Oh, wow. So let's move on to John's camera.
Okay, and the camera, I think I've mentioned it briefly on the show before, but it was a while ago. I'm going to talk about a Voigtlander Vito B camera. And this camera belonged to my father. He got it, sometime between 1956 1960 or so. And when I started getting into photography in the mid-1970s, I got to use it. And it was the first, air quotes, good camera that I got to, you know, lay my mitts on. Eventually, it just sort of became my camera. And now it doesn't get used all that much, but it's a camera that I certainly treasure because it really sort of got me going in serious photography. Now, what the Vito-B is, it's a 35mm, what's called viewfinder camera. It is not a rangefinder. It's not an SLR. It's a scale focus. So you have to, either stop down and use zone focusing. It has little zone focus symbols on the lens, or you have to get pretty decent at judging distances, which is really not that hard. I think there are a lot of photographers in the past who got very, very good at judging mm-hmm. distance. And if you ever heard the saying F8 and be there, well, that was the only advice a photographer needed, was F8 and be there. Because with F8 on a normal lens, you're going to get reasonable depth of field yeah. that will allow scale focusing with a bit of margin for error. The lens on it is a beautiful lens. It's a 50mm Voigtlander color Scopar lens.
Wow.
Which
also
is,
it's got the color Scopar.
Color Scopar lens, 3.5. You could also get them with 2.8. And it's a Tessar design. So, you know, it's going to have good center sharpness. Mm-hmm. And that name, that has brand recognition because one of the lenses I use now on my newer camera is a 35mm 2.5 Voigtlander color Scopar. This is one of the lenses that was made in made by Cassina, but they recognize the value of the colors of the name of the brand name of
Absolutely.
The Scopar lens. The camera itself is completely mechanical. There is no built-in meter, so you either have to get good at using Sunny 16 or
use an
external meter. But you never have to worry about it running out of batteries. The shutter is completely mechanical.
Nice.
It's just going to go and go and go. Mine does need a CLA at this point, but to put it into perspective, mine sat like my first SLR I got in about 1977, after I'd been using the Vito-B for about 3 years. So I got the SLR in 1977, the Yashica Teal Electro. And so this camera just got put on a shelf mm-hmm. and never got used. Just sat and sat and sat. And I tried it out a couple of years ago, maybe 3 years ago. So it's basically sitting from 1977 to about 2012, 2013.
Wow.
And it just, no attention, nothing. Put some film in it, wound it, and it worked just fine. And I would say one thing, if you're going to buy one, sometimes you can get them free or very inexpensively because people will think they're broken for the following reason. The camera, unless there's a little trick you can use, but normally the Vito-B, the shutter will not fire unless it is wound with film in it. So it's happened more than once where someone says, well, it doesn't fire. And so if you're buying one and someone says, well, the shutter doesn't work, if you can get it at a fairly cheap price, it might be worth rolling the dice and spending $5. The camera has a beautiful, solid feel. It's very much the feel of a precision mechanism. The shutter has a lovely sound. I suspect I would take mine in, get a CLA, and I think it could just run forever. It's that well built, and it's nice to be able to look back at a lot of my father's slides and prints and know that I still have the camera in my hand mm-hmm. that he mm-hmm. used for documenting so much of our family history.
I think I remember when you did find it again and you took it out. I believe that was back in 2012 when we went on the Scott Kelby photo walk through Mount Pleasant Cemetery.
It was around that time. I don't recall if I took it out there. I remember using.
I think you did.
I had a lot of pictures at Hyde Park that I took
yep.
with it, but roughly around the same time.
Because mm-hmm. I do have some photos. Probably won't link them to. to the show notes, and unless everybody wants them. But I'm pretty sure that you did have it. I do have a couple photos I'll gladly share with you.
All right, and one final camera. We have a large format entry this time around, and take it away, Mike.
Yeah, well, my grandfather, unfortunately, a few years ago, we lost him to his battle with Parkinson's. Yeah. But one of the things that that happened after the fact, through all the chaos that usually ensues whenever you lose one of the your older family members, is going through the estate. And my mom actually happened to come across a whole plethora of different cameras.
Okay.
And I managed to get them all added to my my collection, and they'll always be treasured. You had the pleasure of shooting the Yashica Lynx 14. Yep. But one of the cameras was a original Deerdorf from Chicago. It's a 5x7 wooden field camera.
Nice.
This thing is just absolutely stunning. It's going to be one of those. I'll definitely be posting a photo of it on the show notes. Mm-hmm. The sad part is that it unfortunately wasn't too well cared for in the later stages of its life. I'm pretty sure that it had been used several times, mm-hmm. but I'm really sad that it was in a basement. It received typical basement treatment of being in a box, and unfortunately their basement wasn't finished, and there were some water issues and stuff like that. So the wood has dried on it. There are some warpage. There is some cracks. There's also some, unfortunately, there are parts missing. It's really unfortunate, but this camera, every time I look at it, I just think of the history that he had.
Right.
He was, for one, he was a serviceman. So he was in the Canadian Armed Forces, actually up into World War II, where he ended up with honorably discharged from it. He was finished his service, which thankfully for him, he did not get shipped overseas. But this camera, every time I look at it, I think of him. And I just think to myself that I need to get it restored. Every time I look at it, I have to. It has been a driving force from the day I got it to eventually get it restored. Even if I never get a chance to use it, because, well, let's face it, 5x7 film, although, yes, you can get the reducing back made from Deerdorf that will fit this perfect, brand new, it's not quite the same, because 5x7 film is getting very difficult to find now. But,
yeah, not really.
But locally, I'm having a lot of difficulty. I believe Film Plus. Burlington Camera? Okay.
Also, you can put in a special order with Ilford, their annual odd format trail.
So that is true. Yeah.
And
is
our
true.
Friend Jacques Brodeur at argentics.ca has 5x7.
That's right. He does have 5x7. Well, I really have been dying to get this camera restored. I'm pretty sure Donna can tell you that I've driven her absolutely up the wall.
We priced it out. It is a little pricey, but within the next year or so, we will be sending it in to get it fixed.
Yeah,
there we go.
I believe Mr. Ritter is the one that's definitely going to be getting the nod. Originally, I was going to send it into Deerdorf, but for reasons that I will not get into on here, I've decided that Mr. Ritter will definitely be the better choice.
Nice.
And as far as the other cameras go that I received, honestly, as nice as they are, they don't hold the same
cachet.
As a Deerdorf. I mean, this thing is, if you see it, it's just stunning. And the fact that 5x7, well, large format in general for me is just, it's such a treat. I mean, it shows a whole different level of thinking in photography. It just, it speaks to me in a whole different level than sitting there with like a 35mm or a snapshot camera.
There you go. Well, this episode was certainly dripping with nostalgia. So, we're coming up to the end of the year, and don't worry, we will be back for season 2 starting at the end of January in 2016. We got a great year all planned out. There'll probably be some changes along the way, as always.
Starting off with Mike's singing lessons.
Yeah. About that. So with a new year, it's a good time to, you know, get up and start up a photo project. And I know I'm going to be doing a 52-roll project with the Hasselblad.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Right?
You can't get much better than that.
Using the Rolleye RPX line of film. I'm not just limiting myself to one. I'm going to use the three of it that are available, the 25, the 100, and the 400. So I can pick and choose based on the situation at hand. Nice. And just really explore that lineup of film and the different developers and just explore the Hasselblad. I also plan on going through and scanning some of the slides that my dad's mother, Myoma Laux, shot with her Instamatic. Now that I have this, I'll be going through and scanning some of the pictures that she shot, and I was just very thankful that she shot most of them on Kodachrome, so they're all still beautiful condition. Plus, it gives me a chance to again experience the beauty that is Kodachrome. Mm-hmm. I'm just curious if you guys had any other projects lined up for 2016.
I've got two things in mind. Like this year, I had my exhibition earlier in the year, so it's sort of hard to top that.
Right.
That took a lot of energy. I'm in no hurry to have another one, even though it was positive. It's just because it took so much work. But one thing, I want to do more 4x5, and I've been using the Petzval lens quite a bit.
Yeah.
But I also have a couple of Tacsharp Ektar lenses.
There we go.
And I want to do some more, precision 4x5, to really get something sharp. The other thing I had in mind, I've said it a couple years in a row and just never seem to do it, is I want to go out and do some severe winter weather shooting.
That's always fun.
I'd like to go out and try and catch something like in the middle of a snowstorm.
Like a
blizzard, just to get, you put a camera in the blizzard, you shoot with very, very slow film and have one or 2 second, 3 second exposure.
Okay.
Just to see the effect, because I have some images already mentally in my mind of how the picture would look. So now it's just a question of me getting off my butt and going out and
Mother Nature cooperating.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll get at least, we are in Toronto. We'll get at least one decent snowstorm this year.
For sure.
Just hopefully it's a day that I can get the camera out and
shoot. Yeah.
Yeah. When I think of like really harsh weather, such as what John was talking about, I can almost picture him being downtown on a street corner, like down on around Queen Street, and driving snow, heavy winds, some poor woman trying to cross the street in her fur coat or whatever kind of coat she's wearing, her hood up, almost like a parka, trying to trudge across through, I don't know, I'd say 20 centimeters of snow, streetcar in the background that you can just make out, and just the driving snow from it. I could honestly see that kind of a shot from John. Absolutely.
Yeah. No.
I think in the new year, I'd like to take the baby speed graphic out a little bit more. I used it a few times, and I just haven't used it enough. And I really think I'd like to shoot with it a bit more in the next 2016.
Yeah, you need some baby speed love. Definitely.
Yeah.
Well, that about wraps it up for this season. Hey, we made it. We did
Yay!
It.
Yay!
And
how about that?
Especially thank you to all of you out there who listen to us, who support us, who share.
Greatly appreciated.
Much appreciated. As always, you can reach us. All our contact information is on the episode notes. And we will see everyone back in January. Again, like I said, we got a great year lined up, and we might even be doing an event, a live event for you, our listeners, where we get to hear from you about the cameras that you love. Watch out for that. Hoping May, June, but again, keep an ear to the ground, eye to Twitter, eye to Facebook. And as always, this is Alex Laux signing off for 2015.
John Meadows saying, remember, it's more fun on backing paper.
Seriously? Seriously? Backing paper now? Well, I guess it's better than getting hot and sweaty and rolling in your film and having it stick to you.
Yep.
It just sticks. Anyway, this is Mike Pataxi signing out for 2015. Looking forward to giving you all the funny stuff in 2016. But then again, it's Sweet 16.
And this is Donna Pataxi, and I'm wishing you all the best and Merry Christmas. And I look forward to speaking again with you guys in 2016.
Happy New Year, folks.